What's good, everybody? Thank you for joining me. I'm right back at you for another edition of the Hammer Fist. Let's get it. Yeah, man, we're back at UFC Apex again. Probably going to be UFC Apex fucking 50 at this point, right? But we're at the Apex. Looks like Apex 8. The main event this week is going to be Anthony the Lionheart Smith going up against Alexander Rekic. And that one is only a 3-round fight. We'll get into that one once we get there. This one's going to be pretty, you know, short and simple. Keep it to about 15 minutes or so. And I'll just give you kind of straight up the plays, and then we'll keep moving. This week, I feel like you could probably play some cash this week if you want to. But I'm not really too much of a cash player. I've played cash in the past, and I'm definitely efficient. And playing cash, but that's just not my style anymore. I'm just more GPP geared nowadays. But it looks like it's a decent card for cash. But I would say, you know, they're always good cards for GPPs. And personally, I think MMA is a GPP sport anyway. I think it's one of those you want to probably have about 4 to 5 lineups, have some hedge lineups, and then have your core lineups, and then just rock with that, man. You know, probably a handful of lineups or so, because usually, you know, cash can get tricky. You can cash for sure. Like you can cash, but I just tend to stay away from it just in general. So we'll keep rolling. This week we do have 11 fights. We had some fights that kind of got moved around and mixed up. That's why the main event is only going to be 3 rounds. So after everything got jumbled up, here we kind of are. So the first fight of the night is going to be Mallory Martin going up against Hannah Cyphers. This is going to be a strawweight fight. Hannah Cyphers is currently the underdog, and Mallory Martin, is the current minus 315 favorite. So that's a pretty big favorite there. I think the odds might be a little off, but Hannah Cyphers looked real bad. Mallory Martin is 8,900 on DraftKings, and Hannah Cyphers is 7,300 on DraftKings. Yeah, I mean, at 8,900, I probably won't have much of Martin. With it being that first fight of the night, or at least kind of early on, I mean, she should style, and if she gets it to the mat, she should be able to end it, because Hannah Cyphers hasn't been able to do anything when these fights get to the mat, like nothing at all. So I think I'll roll with Mallory here, but at 8,900, I just don't like it. She's going to need to be one of the highest scoring fighters of the night, and we're going to have some high scoring fights here. We have some that are for sure fire going to end early. we're going to see some big scores here tonight. But with that being said, she is going to be a decent GPP, low owned play. At 8,900, people are going to think like me, and they are going to probably fade her because she doesn't have a super high path to a high score. But these fights can get crazy. They've gotten crazy every single week. And so with that being said, you know, like I'm playing like 100 lineups this week. I'll probably have about 7% of Mallory. If it wants to give me 7 to 10%, that's fine. I'm using Fantasy Cruncher. you know, I won't fight it, but I'm definitely not going to force her in any of my lineups. And Cyphers is pretty much, she's a fade. 7,300, you know, some of these dogs are going to score well. And it's always the one you don't think, but Hannah Cyphers has just been awful. I mean, she's been submitted in back-to-back fights, and I think she's going to get submitted in 3 fights in a row. I mean, both in the first round, she's coming off of 3 straight losses. She lost to Angela Hill by KO. She got knocked out. So she got knocked out. She's been submitted twice. I just don't see it happening here. So I probably won't have any. If anything, I might have literally a lineup or two out of those 100. All right. And next up, we have, find it here, Fantasy Crunchers all over the place. We have Pollyanna Viana going up against Emily Whitmire. And Whitmire is the current favorite here at minus 139. Yeah, this is going to be a good fight here. The interesting thing is this one does have an inside the distance odd, I'm pretty sure, plus 105. Let me double check that right now. I could be mistaken there. Yeah, no, this one's got a minus the inside. This one's got an inside the distance prop at plus 105. That's pretty significant. If you've listened to the podcast before, that's something we kind of try to exploit. You know, these these women fights, these female fights, for whatever reason, the odds makers, they always feel like they're never going to end early. And so they give them like absurd plus odds, like plus 400s, plus 500s and stuff like that to end early, unless it's like a Cyborg Nunes fight, like that type of thing, right? Or unless it's somebody like a, you know, where they know like this person's a specialist, they're going to take it to like that kind of thing, and a huge favorite. So a plus 105 is pretty telling that they don't know, and that this one might end early, and they're not willing to give you too much money on it if it does end early. And that's pretty significant. I do think they both have sub upside here. I'm going to lean Whitmire. But I do think, I do think Pollyanna just, she's really just better, in my opinion. She's just better. She's going to be better on the mat. I think too, she's going to be better on the feet. She's been looking terrible though. Her form has just been awful, but she's beaten the better competition. We don't really talk about, MMA math here, so I won't really get into that either. But I do think that both of these ladies warrant, some ownership. Pollyanna is 8K even, and then Emily Whitmire is 8,200 even. So I do like both of them. I think you can fit both of them in a few of your lineups, and it won't kill you. If you're only playing a handful of lineups, I would say probably just pick one of them and throw them in one of your lineups. Maybe one or two of your lineups max. If you're playing more than that, if you're playing anything more than 20, I'd say go ahead and look at about 15, 17, maybe even 20% of about both of them. I think even if they shit the bed here at that pricing and 20% of your lineups, you know, might be dead. It still depends though. They would have to kind of score really, really bad for you not to cash. Now you may not take a tournament down, but you'll still cash for sure. All right. And next up here, we have Sean Brady going up against Christian Aguilera. This is going to be a welterweight fight, and Sean Brady is currently 9,300. I think he's the biggest favorite on the card at minus 455, and Christian Aguilera, of course, is coming back at 6,900, and he's the biggest dog on the card. Not much to get into here. Christian's got a lot of power, to be honest with you. He's got like KO one-punch power. He's definitely better just the boxer. He's a better boxer. Not to say he's going to be better just on the feet per se, even though he probably will, but he's the better boxer, right? Boxing, Muay Thai, all that stuff, it's different, but he's the better boxer. But Brady's going to come out here and look to wrestle, and honestly, I think he's going to style. I think this is going to be a showcase fight for him. So, I mean, honestly, meaning like it's like, okay, you know, come out here, show out, do your thing, and get some more fights, make some money. He should, you know, in everything that I've seen, he doesn't really sway from the plan. But you know, he should just wrestle and relentlessly wrestle, and he should do it for three rounds, man. And even if he does that for three rounds, he really should score well. So I'm pretty okay with even saying, if you guys wanted to like core him for tournaments, that'd be fine. Especially if you're coring him for cash, he's definitely a solid cash play. He's definitely a solid cash play. But yeah, in tournaments, I'm probably going to have, see, the way I feel about this in tournaments is you want to leverage the field here. And at 9,300, he has to be the highest score of the night. And so while I think he definitely has path to a high score as possible, he may not be the highest score of the night. So I would probably only be happy with putting him in like half of your lineups, even maybe just like a little bit less than half. Anything more than that, you're kind of setting yourself up, because again, he does have to be the highest scorer of the night. And so if he doesn't, you know, then you might be screwed, especially out of a bink. Now, again, of course, he goes out there and puts up a 90, you're going to cash. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's possible you might not take down a tournament with that. So just be wary, but he's definitely a play, you know. He's definitely the best, if not one of the best plays out there, and the safest for sure. So a plug and play there. All right, next up we have Alex Caceres going up against Austin Springer. Yeah, this is going to be a good fight, man. Alex Caceres, man, this is an OG, man. OG, OG. And it's interesting, both of these guys are coming in. There was an opponent change here. So Austin Springer is only 7,200. Alex Caceres is 7,400, and Alex Caceres is the minus 225 favorite. Yeah, man, super cheap. If you're playing cash, lock him in cash. Don't worry about it. You know, and kind of keep it moving. Springer on the flip side for GPPs, I like him too. Both are going to be in play because of the price. 100% in tournaments, both are going to be in play because of the price. Springer is boom or bust. He does, I think, have to kind of get Alex out of there. But I mean, shit, even if he doesn't and these guys get 80s, 90s, just in there beating the hell out of each other for three rounds, they're gonna be optimal. I do think Alex Caceres is going to get the win here, though. He's the vet. I mean, I think he's honestly just going to kind of give him that teaching lesson there. I think he's just going to be quicker on the feet. I think he's going to be sharper. I think he's going to be ready for the takedowns, but I don't think Springer's going to want to do that. I really like it. Now this one doesn't really have any inside the distance odds. So, I mean, I don't really see it ending early either. Like I said, Springer would have to kind of end this early, I think, to beat Caceres. Otherwise, I think Caceres is going to style on him. So even for tournaments, I'm probably going to have about 40, 30, 40, 50% of this guy. And on the flip side, I'll have probably about 20, 25% of Springer just to bring it back just in case. But I think Caceres is either one of these guys, you know, they might be super chalky. And Springer at 7,200, if he does go out there and knocks Alex Caceres out, which I don't think he will, he's definitely going to be optimal. Either one of these guys are going to be optimal with big scores here. So there you go. All right. Next up, we have Alessio Dicharico going up against Zach Cummings. This is a middleweight fight here. And this is going to be a good fight. Not necessarily for DraftKings, though. I'll tell you right off the bat, I don't really like it for DraftKings. Dicharico is going to be my pick here, though, at 7,800. Zach Cummings at 8,400. I just think he's too expensive. Neither one of these guys score well. They both score like shit. And I just think this is going to be like, and both of them can take punches, and they're just both tough. Like, this is just going to be a three-round fight where these guys are just going to punch each other up for three rounds. And just in case it does end early, I'll probably maybe have about 7 to 10% of each just in case. Because even that, if they're low-owned, might be enough to take you over. But yeah, no inside the distance odds. I don't really like it for DraftKings. And that's kind of how I'm moving. All right. Next up, we have Impa Casagnye. That's close enough. Going up against Makai Patolo. Makai Patolo back. This guy's, he doesn't win a lot of fights, but, you know, he's a banger, man. I like him a lot. And then you got Impa, who, it's going to be his first fight in the UFC. But there's a good amount of tape on this guy, man. And, I know he's coming in undefeated. Dude is a beast, man. Really, it's going to be if he's going to be able to keep up with that pace for three rounds. This one does have a plus 100 inside the distance odds, which is interesting because, again, they're not trying to give too much into it. But that's almost on the flip side to kind of what we were talking about earlier. So kind of take it for what it is. Patolo, man, dude's real powerful. He's going to throw a lot of bombs in that first round, and he's just going to throw a lot of bombs, period. That's just what he does. I do like this fight for tournaments, though. I think for Impa, this is a showcase fight in the sense of let's see what you got, not in the sense of okay, let's we're kind of throwing you a bone here, but more in the sense of okay, let's show me what you got here, so it's interesting. But this is a boom or bust fight. So again, if you're only playing a handful of lineups, I think this is definitely a fight that you can pick on in one of your lineups, but don't go overboard on it. If you're playing more than 20. You can definitely slap 10, 15% on both of these guys, to be honest with you. But I do pick Impa here. He's the minus 139 favorite, and he's 8,500 on DraftKings, and Makai Patolo is 7,700 on DraftKings, so he's the cheaper play. But I do think Impa gets it done here at 8,500. I think he might be able to get him out of there, to be honest. They're going to go in there and swing bombs, man, early, so... Makai's definitely live, so I mean, I'm telling you, go ahead and pick on this in one or two of your lineups, and keep it moving. All right, we're moving right along, and next up we have up here we have Magomed Ankalaev going up against Ian Kudabella, and Ian's, you know, Kudabella's been fighting a lot, man. To be honest with you. He fought two times last year. He's already fought this year. He took an L. He wins one, loses one, wins one, loses one. He does score really well when he wins, though, because he knocks dudes the fuck out. However, it's possible that it happens, but I just don't see that happening, man. I see Magomed being able to kind of wear on him for a little bit, kind of being able to how kind of however he wants it, because he'll knock you out. Like, I mean, he can beat on you for three rounds. I mean, you know, he doesn't. The thing about him is he's not necessarily looking for the takedowns. So that's, you know, that's kind of the thing too that makes him interesting. And he is 9K, which is expensive. Kudabala is coming back at 7,200. So if we're looking at straight upside and boom or bust, Kudabala's definitely got the higher upside there. But I think Ankalaev is able to get this done. He can wrestle, you know, so I think he is going to be able to get this done. So I like him here. He should be able to kind of do his thing. He is the minus 335 favorite currently. And this one does have a minus 286 and tied the distance. So like I said, Kudabala is live and Ankalaev is also live. I do think whoever wins this fight is probably going to be in the optimal lineup. That's just my honest opinion. All right, next up we have Ricardo Lamas going up against Bill Algeo. And yeah, man, Ricardo Lamas is the minus 335 favorite. He is 9,200 on DraftKings. Algeo's coming back at 7K even. Ricardo Lamas should style. He's getting a little older, but this one's got a minus 157 inside the distance. I'm going to take some shots on Lamas here because I think he'll be low-owned at 9,200. Well, he probably won't. I'll take that back. He's not going to be low-owned. People are gonna be smart and see all that stuff. And he'll have some ownership here, so definitely have some ownership there. You know, definitely try to get Lamas, you know, financially and as many as you can with kind of the other plays that we've talked about. But I do think he's going to carry some ownership. You know, on the flip side, Algeo, man, I just don't really – I mean, yeah, he can get this done, but there's just not a lot here as far as UFC experience. So, I mean, there's tape on him. And, I mean, the guy's got a lot of fights, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he's real lanky. But I don't know. He kind of takes too many shots to me. I don't like the defense. And Ricardo Lamas, man, like, He's gonna test that chin, he's definitely gonna be my pick here, and we'll keep moving. Almost done here. All right, next up we have Ji-Yeon Kim going up against Alexa Grasso, and man, I don't really like this one for DraftKings, but I do like Alexa Grasso here. She doesn't really score well when she wins. She does have one win over KK over Carolina, but that one was, I mean, like, She threw 369 significant strikes and landed 150 of them. Like, it's crazy. Now, she does tend to throw a lot, but not almost 400 significant strikes attempted or thrown or whatever. So I think that was kind of, we can use that as an anomaly. At 9,100, I just really don't like it. I think there's definitely some better plays that we can get there. Ji-Yeon Kim on the flip side, I don't like her at all at 7,100. I think the only upside that she has is she's going to have to get this fight to the mat. Or she's gonna have to hurt her or something like that. I think Grasso is just gonna have too much pace, too much pressure for her. So that's kind of where I'm going. I'll probably have a little bit of share. Like I'll probably have less than 15-20% of Grasso, and then I'll probably move on from there. I won't fight it, but I'm not gonna request Grasso kind of in any of my lineups. But she's a good play. If you're playing cash, I think she's a solid cash play as well. But for tournaments, I think I'm going to try to look for a higher upside elsewhere. Next up, we have Robbie Lawler, the OG. We got some OGs fighting tonight. Robbie Lawler going up against Neil Magny. And, man, this is going to be a welterweight fight. Neil Magny is currently the favorite at minus 250. And then you got Robbie Lawler coming back at – and I'm sorry, he's 8,600 on DraftKings. Then you got Robbie Lawler at 7,600 on DraftKings, so a good $1,000 difference. And he is, he's the underdog here. Look, this is going to be a good fight. And I've been getting questions about this on Twitter and in chat and stuff too. And this is going to be a good fight. Robbie Lawler is always live. The fight is a plus 165 inside the distance with odds, which I don't like, which means they don't think this one's going to end early. And I don't either. However, Lawler's always live for a K, and he's super cheap, so he can, I mean, he's not super cheap, he's 7,600, but he's cheap enough where he can wind up optimal with the 80 or something like that this late, you know, this late into the card. It depends on what we get, because he's, you know, habitually getting 80s, he's got a 90 and 100 in there, but it's pretty much all 80s. So, I mean, you know, even in like a KO, you're probably looking at like 80, you know, like high 80s maybe. But he's definitely live here. I do think the odds are maybe a little bit off, so I think if you're a betting man, I'd probably look more towards this one as far as the betting line. Not necessarily as far as DraftKings is concerned, as far as hammering. But I do like Lawler here. I'll have some ownership just in case he does get Neal out of here early. I don't think Neal's going to be able to get Lawler out of here early, but I'll have some shares just in case. But for the most part, I'm going to be pretty limited on this fight and see if I can get away with it. All right. And next up, we do have the main event. We have Anthony Lionheart Smith going up against Alexander Rakic. This is going to be a light heavyweight fight. Alexander Rakic is currently 8,700, and he is the minus 278 favorite. And then on the flip side, you got Anthony Smith, who is 7,500. Look, this is gonna be a real interesting fight in the sense of you got Anthony Smith, who's coming back too early. Everybody knows that. He probably should have taken some more time off. It is only a 3-round fight, so normally these 5-round fights, you can just lock them in because you're like, well, in the worst case, these guys are gonna, fight for 5 rounds and score more points than everybody else. Like, it's just, But that's not the case here. However, this one, I do believe is gonna end early, and I do believe this fight is gonna end up on the optimal lineup as well. However, if you're into fading the main events, this is definitely one that you can say, okay, I'm gonna try to get away with fading it. Just because, like I said, it's only 3 rounds, so there's no extra advantage to taking this fight and just locking it in like there is normally. However, I do believe that this fight will still carry heavy ownership, and I do believe that at the end of the night that this fight will still move the cash line. Therefore, I'm pretty much going to play it the same, to tell you the truth, because I do see either way one of these guys getting each other out of here. And I'll kind of sync with my ship if that's how we go. But if we're looking at the numbers, and if you're, and just overall, just over time, I've been doing this for years, man. That main event, it doesn't matter if it's 3 rounds or 5 rounds, it's going to carry enough ownership as well, that these guys are going to move that needle. But if they do go out there and drop a stinker, and it's a 3-round stinker, and we got some high scores here, you're going to have a really, really nice edge by getting away with fading this main event. So if you're going to play, a bunch of lineups, like I'm playing 100 lineups, I usually seriously just lock in these main events. I probably won't this week. I'll probably end up going really like 40-40, 30-30-40, 20-30, you know what I mean? 15, something like that. 15-40, 15-15-45, some shit like that, just to make sure I can get a big chunk of it. But so I can maybe try to get away and get slick in the rest of my lineups, because again, there's no extra advantage here because it's only going to be 3 rounds. However, I do think though that it's still going to move the needle, like I said. So play it how you will. But there we go. 23 minutes this week. Tried to get it a little bit shorter. But we're all set. If you guys have any questions, hit me up in chat. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm here to answer any questions that you guys need. Let's get it. Peace.